Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Drill Down with Marty Stetzer. This podcast is part of our EKTI Oil and Gas Learning Network and brought to you in conjunction with the Energy Conference Network in Houston. ECN is a leading source of business information for energy professionals. They run major conferences and specialized workshops. ECN helps executives solve industry problems as they share ideas with conference decision makers. Today, our topic is the Internet of Things, IoT, and oil and gas. With an estimated global value of $31 billion by 2020, the digital oil field is the oil and gas industry's hotbed of innovation, now including big data, analytics, and robotics. On August 28th, I spoke with Randy Krotowski. He was CIO for Chevron Exploration and Production Company and VP and CIO for Caterpillar. Randy is now an independent consultant based in Massachusetts and a board member of several organizations. Randy, welcome.
Thanks, Marty. It's really good to be here.
Randy, we appreciate you being part of this effort. I understand your primary focus is looking at the confluence of IoT, artificial intelligence, platforms, and new business models. You bring the perspective of an enterprise CIO to identify how this next wave of technology will transform a large enterprise. Can you give our listeners your background and then expand on your new role as an emerging technology strategist? Randy?
Sure, I'm happy to. It's interesting. I think this latest wave of technology is what I was really born to do. I spent 15 years at Chevron in engineering and operations, production engineering, facilities engineering, everything other than drilling, a little bit of reservoir engineering, and then 15 years on the IT side of the house, leading up to my last role at Chevron as the CIO for Chevron's global exploration and production business. What was interesting there is I've always been a digital advocate and did a lot of work in those 6 years in the digital oil field, which is has been underway for 15 years, and I think that today's technology is going to do more. I left Chevron to do a short stint at Caterpillar as the corporate CIO to bring the same thinking into mine sites and construction sites, Caterpillar's customers, and get experience in a different industry. More recently, I've been spending time really focused on emerging technology. I left Caterpillar about 3 years ago. Became an advisor to a couple Silicon Valley startups and have been really focused on how those three technology trends, IoT, cloud, and big data, and AI all come together to really make possible some new things that I've been trying to do for decades.
Thanks, Randy. That is interesting background to be able to shift from operations to IT. Another interesting shift that you've done is the shift from oil and gas to manufacturing. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the differences that you saw in the way IoT and analytics are being used at Chevron versus the way they're being used at Caterpillar?
It's interesting. I think a lot of people in the oil and gas industry view themselves as laggards in the adoption of technology. After having had experience on both sides in oil and gas for many years, and then manufacturing, I don't think that's the case. I think that the oil and gas industry is actually a technology leader in many cases, but has some unique challenges. I think that, oil and gas technology is really focused on how do you drive improved operations. It's less about the product that we produce, because in most cases it's a commodity. And there's not much you can do except at the very end, retail service station. In the upstream business, you produce a commodity. I would say that in manufacturing, the nature of the operations means that they're a lot more similar across factories, but they're not the same. So they have some of the same difficulties in, scaling technology beyond just solving one factory's problem. If the goal is to integrate the entire supply chain to accelerate order to delivery, they have many of the same challenges. I would say that the biggest difference, though, is oil and gas is an extremely scientific industry. And as a result, you've got a lot of people who are huge advocates of technology. Manufacturing is less science, more business. And I think that the technology focus there is a little bit different. I would say, though, that both industries are really focused on these three trends I mentioned, IoT, cloud, and artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Randy, another question that Joe and I often talk about is the differences in geography between E&P, especially on the P side of manufacturing. As you know, Chevron and other company have thousands of wells, sometimes spread over hundreds of thousands of acres, versus a Caterpillar that might have four or five plants, but most of the IoT analytic related types of pieces of the business would be inside a plant. Is that true? Since you've seen both sides, is there a huge difference because of the wide geography in E&P versus manufacturing?
No, it's absolutely true. I think that it does create some unique challenges for the E&P industry. You know, I think that a factory has four walls. It typically, you know, it could extend acres, but it's unlikely to extend across many square miles like an oil and gas field. You know, it's interesting. I've been focused on technology in the oil and gas industry for 35 years now. And, you know, it really wasn't until recently, and having the manufacturing experience helped, that I sort of began to understand both the fundamental challenge. I think I understood the fundamental opportunities in oil and gas, but the fundamental challenges. And I think you're touching on it. I think that within manufacturing supply chain, within retail, within a lot of other industries, the nature of the business is such that it's a little more contained, it's a little less diverse, and as a result, you can deploy and use technology effectively much more quickly. I think in oil and gas, it's both the geographic spread, but also the diversity of operations that create some unique challenges for us. You know, in the case of upstream oil and gas, you know, you've got different resource types, you've got different geographies, you've got very large geographies. And while you may have sensors, communications have been a challenge. The other challenge is that a lot of these fields, you know, were developed at different times. One field may have wells from 20 years ago and a well that was drilled yesterday. And as a result, you know, it gets to this fundamental challenge we've had in oil and gas that I think we're on the cusp of solving, which is that in our industry, we have such incredible diversity of resources, of operations, of technology, and of data. And when you think of IoT or digital or data-driven production, you know, you're really thinking about how do you deal with that diversity in a way that you can actually drive improvements in every one of your operations.
Staying with oil and gas for a minute, Randy, the digital oil field is a concept that's been around for quite a few years, as you know. What are some of the differences you see in the way we're approaching it now with, call it the IoT and the analytics model, versus what we were trying to do with the digital oil field when we first started implementing these types of efficiencies?
Sure. I think, you know, when I look at it, and I'm still very much an engineer at heart. And so I sort of simplified the digital oil field into three eras. I think the early era, the early 2000s, we were all trying to figure out how to connect up and wire up an entire oil field so that we had all the data, we had complete operational visibility, and we were driving changes in workflows and processes and transformation. And that was a difficult time in the digital oil fields. I think that what we were trying to do was extraordinarily complex and expensive. A lot of the technology just wasn't there to do what we envisioned. I think the second generation, which is when I was the CIO for the upstream business, we focused on how do you actually get scalable solutions, whether it's real-time production optimization, real-time drilling, offshore logistics optimization, onshore maintenance optimization. How do you get scalable solutions? Rather than trying to figure out how to digitize the entire oil field, we focused on discrete opportunities within those oil fields to drive incremental value, in some cases significant incremental value. And at Chevron, we did a program called Upstream Workflow Transformation over a period of 5 years to deliver 12 solutions into a multitude of oil and gas fields around the world. Incredibly valuable, but at the same time, you couldn't go as far as you'd like, right? You're solving this problem for this field, given the nature of its operations, the technology that's there, and the data that's available. I think that the fundamental change that is happening today is that, like I say, you've got these three trends. You've got IoT, which really is the ability to more easily capture data, but also more easily interact with things that are out in the field or anywhere, right? It's both that data capture and interaction. And it's getting far more economic to do that. You've got cloud, which means compute is cheap and easy, and storage costs are approaching zero. And then, which allows you to do AI or machine learning. Really, if you're capturing all that data and you want to interact with field operations, you need to have something more than an engineer behind a screen. You need to have AI, which is, you know, is the equivalent of having 1,000 engineers looking at your data and deciding what to do next. When those three things come together, I think it's going to allow us to achieve sort of that original vision that we came up in back in the DOF days of the early 2000s. And there's some things that we have to fundamentally change in how we approach digitizing our oil fields that'll allow us to get there over the next couple of years.
Randy, that was terrific. Another question that we've kind of got based on your Caterpillar and your Chevron experience, in addition to the wide geography and some of the other engineering-oriented ways of looking at problems you described, there's obviously different organization and business models between Chevron and Caterpillar. Chevron is very federated. Caterpillar is likely as not. Does that present some challenges in the way these new types of technologies are implemented?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, a federated business model or a decentralized business model is always more challenging. Although I'd argue that if you can make it work, it's a better model in that it forces you to be darn good. Otherwise, you get pushback from the business units. But I do think that the organizational implications of any of these changes are hard. Like I say, I think technology is going to make it much easier. Because you can make changes incrementally, you can keep a lot more common with only changing small elements of the technology, so they don't have to provide unique solutions for every business yet. But at the same time, you know, change is hard is probably the best way to describe it. And most people really don't want to see change unless it's the change that they're driving.
Randy, let's shift gears a little bit. You, I understand you sit on the board of an IoT software company. What perspective has this given you based on both your corporate experience and considering there appears to be so many diverse IoT offerings out there on the market and more coming on every year?
You know, it was interesting. When I retired from corporate life, you know, my goal was to spend more time with emerging technology. As a corporate CIO, you get to spend a little time with that, but a lot of time with the rest of IT. I was very fortunate. I connected with a company called C3 IoT, became a member of their advisory board back in 2014. And it's been interesting because between that and consulting with a number of companies, I've gotten to get a really broad perspective of this next generation of technology, everything from GE's Predix to IBM's Watson to, you know, Microsoft Azure and AWS and Palantir, and there's dozens of them out there. What's been interesting is seeing how this next generation of technology is evolving. I think the big challenge for any large company is trying to figure out, you know, who to work with, because everybody's trumpeting that they have something unique and different. And in truth, there are a lot of companies with something unique and different. My perspective is that, you know, as I mentioned, there's these three trends, IoT, cloud, and AI coming together. And what they do is really give us the ability to implement what I'd consider sort of the next operations architecture. You know, Our history has been trying to deal with this diversity. And the way we try to deal with diversity in IT is try to knit everything together. And that's complex. It's expensive. It's like getting into a house and deciding you don't like where all the plumbing and electrical goes. You know, it's an expensive proposition to change that. You have to rip all the walls down. You've got to change a whole bunch of things. I think that companies like C3 IoT, companies like Palantir, allow you to now create this new layer of data on top of your existing systems that brings together all that data in a way that is not only accessible, which a lot of companies do, but usable, which means that in a matter of you know, a couple of months, you can develop and deploy new applications. And you can, you know, and there's some huge advantages to this. One is the speed at which you can develop and deploy new applications. The second is the fact that you really don't have to touch the underlying technology and systems within the existing operations other than to connect to them. And the third one is you actually get to introduce change incrementally into operations. There's a good example recently of something that C3 did with a company called Origin Oil and Gas. In developing two applications for them, one was predictive maintenance for progressive cavity pumps, and you know, developing this data foundation for that particular problem then allows them to focus on another problem, which is, you know, can they use the same data for improving how they identify the drilling prospects? Are they likely to drill a high-producing well or a low-producing well? And then they could use that same data to figure out how are their field facilities operating, how are their maintenance staff or maintenance activities being optimized. And the nice thing about this platform is it lets you actually go after that original vision of the digital oil field that has historically been, you know, too hard and too complex to go after. So I think there's this fundamental shift in how we need to be thinking about the architecture of the systems and data that support our oil and gas operations. And like I say, the companies that adopt this new architecture, I think, will move much more quickly in driving the performance and production in their operations.
Randy, this was terrific. Your insights and especially your experience will surely be valuable to the EKTI and Energy Conference Network listeners. Do you have anything to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just encourage companies, you know, not being an operator anymore. I'd encourage the operators and other companies to get out there and really think hard, not just on the individual solutions, but how these new platforms can be used really to broaden their reach across their operations and drive the transformation that they've been thinking about for about a decade and a half now.
Register now to explore the latest developments in IoT and oil and gas at the ECN conference set for September 13 and 14 in Houston. Hope to see you there. Thanks for listening. To learn more about the oil and gas industry, be sure to check out our free Oil 101 series on how the industry works at www.ektinteractive.com.